Ilsa, a childhood friend of mine, once found a raspberry in the camp and carried it in her pocket all day to present to me that night on a leaf. Imagine a world in which your entire possession is one raspberry and you give it to your friend. Gerda Weismann Klein, deported from Germany as a teenager, she later married the U.S. Army soldier who led the troops that rescued her. My younger sister went up to a Nazi soldier with one of her friends. Standing naked, embracing each other, she asked to be spared. He looked into her eyes and shot the two of them. They fell together in their embrace, my sister and her young friend. Rivka Yosilevska, young mother who witnessed the murder of her entire family. At first, the bodies weren't burned, they were buried. In January 1944, we were forced to dig up the bodies so they could be burned. When the last mass grave was opened, I recognized my whole family. My mother, my sisters, and their kids. They were all in there. Motka Zaidel, deported from Lithuania and forced to work the death detail.
I was following the instructions of what a police officer was telling me.
You weren't there? You didn't have the phone call? You have no idea what you would have done in that situation? You think you do, but you don't know.
I'm Acadia, and this is Strangeful Things.
Brett. Go.
Well, all right. That was not the cheeriest opening we've had so far.
No.
No, it was not.
I'm Acadia with fellow companions Christy Ramsey, who did a wonderful job reading those quotes that are actually part of the Boston Holocaust Museum, which I recommend to anybody to visit if they are in Boston.
I hate to do this to you.
Yes.
But my name's not Christy Ramsey anymore.
Oh, God, that's right.
Damn. You're right.
But I've known you. It should go by how long I've known you.
That's okay. We'll just leave this in. Christy Stevens.
Okay, sorry. By Janet Ramsey. Christy Stevens.
Sorry.
No, it's not your fault. Obviously, it's my fault. And Jen Martinelli, who will always be Jen Martinelli. I don't care if she becomes Sir Jen Martinelli. I refuse to call her that.
That's reasonable.
So, they're
moving along.
Yes, they were. Along, exactly. So those little quotes from the beginning, those were actual quotes from people who survived the Holocaust, and they were followed by the voice of a woman with the unfortunate name of Donna Summer.
Oh, God. But not the Donna Summer.
Not the Donna Summer, no. She was a she was a McDonald's manager. And we're going to get back to her story.
Oh, boy.
But the point of this show is about what kind of people we are.
Oh, boy.
So, okay. And what kind of people we actually are versus what kind of people we think we are. So I'm going to ask both of you, and you can answer in any order that you want. Have you ever been in a situation, either social or work or anything like that, where you did something that you really didn't feel comfortable doing, but you didn't feel like you had a choice?
Yes.
Like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I did. I can't think of anything specifically, though.
But, like, you would acknowledge that generally from time to time, you know, you just go, this doesn't feel right, but, you know, they always know what they're talking about, so okay.
Right, yes.
You know, that kind of thing.
Yes.
All right, so then I'm going to ask you a second question, which I didn't ask you ahead of time. Have you ever been in a psychological experiment?
No, not to my knowledge.
Answer.
I think I was in college, but I don't remember what it was.
I think it was just an experiment.
I think it was just something very, like, inconsequential. I can't remember what it was, so I guess it doesn't count.
Well, I was in one, and it was, and we got paid, like, there were a bunch of ways that people in college made money when I was there. My favorite was being in lineups at the police station.
Ooh!
Because you got $40.
Wow.
And so that was decent money. You got $225 for donating to the sperm bank. And
jeez.
Yeah, that's a load of money. And there's some guys I know that, like, I mean, they will end up seeing a lot of people that look like them because they went a lot. Like, and I think it was once every, you could only go like once every 6 weeks, I think it was. I don't know why, like, you gotta rejuvenate yourself or whatever, I don't know. But yeah, there were people that did that, and then there were people that gambled and everything like that. But for $25, I went to the psychology building and I took a test on how fast I could type numbers after another number went up on the screen. It was nothing but a speed test.
Okay.
And they said, okay, well, look, here's how it goes. The thing starts and it's going to run through its sequence. If the sequence stops, that means that you hit one of the top F keys, so don't hit those keys. If you do hit those keys, I forget what they said, but they made a big deal about, like, if you messed up the test,
yeah,
it was kind of a big deal and it was like all wasted, but you got to keep the money. So all right. I'm going along, whatever, like that, and all of a sudden the big error screen comes up. Uh-oh. And like, I sat there for a little while and I was kind of all like freaked out about it, and so I got up and I went back to where they had told me to come in, because they had said, go back, you know, when you're done, go out the other door. But mm-hmm. I went all the way back to the lady and I'm like, listen, I am sorry, I think I messed up your test. I must have hit the F1 key because the error screen came up, but like, I'm sorry, I'll do it again, you know, whatever you gotta do, but I swear I don't believe I hit it. And she's like, no, that's fine, this test was to see how many people would come back.
Oh my gosh, are you serious?
Yeah, it was, like, that's all that it was. So not only did I, like,
you won
in the test, right, but I, like, won the test, because I was like, yeah. Months later they published, you know, that like, only the pussies came back and told us, you know, and
right,
the
winners right.
in life just walked off. And my psychology teacher explained and I mean, I've never been able to find anything on this or anything like that, but they did one psychological test where they asked students to ride the subway and ask people if they could take their seat. And the test was supposed to be how many people gave up their seat. Now, you know from trains in Boston, yeah. Jen.
Yeah.
And New York is the same, if not worse. You just don't do that. Like,
right.
And you were supposed to do it whether or not the train was crowded.
You mean people don't ask, or you mean people don't give up their seats?
People just don't ask.
Yeah.
Like, if an old lady gets on and nobody gets up, everybody, like, side-eyes them until somebody gets up.
Right.
But generally, you don't go up and say, oh, can I sit down? Especially if you're a college kid. Like, unless...
No, definitely not. Actually, I've run into a fair amount of people who do ask, but it's, like, elderly people with a cane or, like, a pregnant woman.
Yeah. People who need to sit down.
Right. Other people don't just go, like, hey, I'd like your seat. Yeah, that wouldn't work. That wouldn't go over well.
So...
No.
They sent these people out into the city to do this, and when they came back, they were like, all right, how many times did you do it, and everything like that, and like, basically everybody felt like really, really, like, shitty about themselves. And they asked, part of the thing was, well, how did you feel about doing it? And they're like, well, we felt like, ah, like, it was terrible.
Yeah.
Like, except for one guy and one gal from the thing, they both said, nah, it didn't bother me.
Oh, so those were the sociopaths or something?
One of them ended up being killed in a drug shootout, and the woman ended up in adult movies.
Well, there you go.
I think that they had some issues.
Yes. So, basically, these tests are never about what they're supposed to be about.
Right. And they're always about something else.
Right.
Now, there's the one, like, there's the famous one about you're supposed to be delivering electrical shocks to someone if they, like, answer the questions wrong.
Well, look at
wrong.
You, Miss Good Guesser, because that's what this episode is about.
Really? Oh, I love that one! I was going to talk about the prison one with the prisoners and the guards.
Oh, that is messed up. Yeah, that one, there were a few, like, warm-up ones, but...
The name just slipped my mind, but it has a famous name.
It's the Stanford Prison Experiment.
That's fucked up. Okay.
There was one, and this one is mainly about the Milgram experiment.
Yeah, that's
But a couple of the other ones that I wanted to just briefly touch on, one of them you might not have heard of was the Good Samaritan experiment that was run in 1973. And by the way, nowadays, you can't do these kinds of things.
Right.
Like, fuck with people this much. Like, the protocols have changed, like, drastically, so that, like, it's no fun.
Right.
But in the Good Samaritan experiment, they actually took seminary students, and half of them were told that they had to do a sermon about the Good Samaritan in another building, and the other half were told that they had to give a sermon about how to get a job or how, you know, it was basically like it had nothing to do with Good Samaritan stuff. And they were all given different times that they had to give the sermon when they did the thing, which meant that some of them were in a hurry and some of them weren't.
Okay.
And on their way to the building, they would go past a person who was slumped in an alleyway who looked like they got the shit beat out of them, who obviously needed help.
Okay.
Yep.
What they found out was they were in a hurry.
Yep.
Fucked. Because wait. They were in a hurry to give a sermon about the Good Samaritan story, only 10% of them
would stop. Right.
Kinda just means that we suck.
Yep. Kinda does.
And then further sucking is they did it, you know, the Kitty Genovese story?
Yeah.
No.
This was a woman who was beaten and murdered.
And stabbed.
And it took a long time. And a lot of people heard it. And nobody did anything. They had at least 50 different witnesses. Because it was in the summer and they all had their windows open. And they're like, I heard it.
It was like in New York. It was like in New York or something, right?
Yeah.
And it was like in the city. It wasn't, you know.
Wow. Yeah, and they did a study on that based on what happened in that situation, and
so it's called bystander syndrome or something, right?
Yes, and the study that they did was they said, okay, well, we're going to have people in this, you know, it's always some trumped up reason why they're going to have somebody in one room and somebody in another room or whatever like that, and they're going to have a discussion, and then at some point they're going to find out that one of the people that they're talking to is having an epileptic seizure.
Okay.
I don't know how they did that, but if it was just the experiment was just like Christy and I, and Christy thought I was having an epileptic seizure, yep. 85% of Christy's would come and save me.
Right.
Right.
However, if it was Christy and Jen and Benev and Kenny and me, and it sounded like I was having a seizure. Remember, everybody's in a different room. Only 31% of people would go and try and find the person to help them.
Because they think someone else is going to take
care of it. Because everybody yeah. thinks somebody else is going to do it. And there's actually, I don't know if I can get the actual video because it's fucking terrible, but there's
a woman,
there's a woman lying in the road, obviously hurt. And there's like a ton of videos. She's like right by a toll booth thing. Mm-hmm. And basically there's just a ton of videos that of cars just like going, driving wow, fast. Good thing I didn't hit her. Like ugh. Just swerving out of the way, but nobody jeez. Stopped.
And that's real? That's not an experiment?
No. Yeah. No, that was real. That poor soul was straight up real. Ugh. And it's somebody else is going to do it. Blah. And right. and the other one was the Stanford Prison Experiment was the, hey, this will be fun.
Yeah.
Let's make I think it was 12 students guards and 12 students prisoners. And right. it was supposed to like, go for 2 weeks.
And they were supposed to be like sequestered away.
Yeah, they were in the basement of one of yeah. the Yeah, one of the built... classes, the classroom buildings.
Yeah.
And on the second day, there was a riot. The prisoners all yep. rioted.
Yep.
So then the fucking guards, like, started just making them sleep naked on the concrete and clean toilets with their bare hands and shit like
that. Yeah, they totally... It was really, really bizarre how much their behavior changed.
It was immediately.
And it wouldn't have stopped, except that the guy who was running the experiment like went home at night and was telling his girlfriend, and his girlfriend ratted him out.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
So the whole thing stopped after like 6 days.
Yeah, I didn't even think it was that. Was it 6 days? It wasn't very long. It wasn't even close to the whole time.
It, like, people just went total Planet of the Apes in like one second.
Yep. I mean, I feel like if they had continued to let that thing go,
people would be dead.
It would have totally turned into like a creepypasta type of situation.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Like the Russian sleep experiment or something, except real.
Yeah. So,
yeah, it would have been totally
nuts. And I guess that piece of it says, well, if you know you're not going to get in trouble, you're pretty much a fucking animal.
Yeah.
So. Which brings us to Milgram and where Milgram got his idea from, which brings us back to the beginning of today's episode where Christy was reading.
Yep.
And Adolf Eichmann.
Ugh.
Now, before the actual Holocaust started, Eichmann was in charge of emigrating Jews because in the early stages of things, like, their attitude towards it was, well, as long as they're not in fucking Germany, we don't care where they are.
Right.
So, like, Eichmann went to Palestine to see if he could send some there and send some to France and just getting them out of Germany, basically.
Right.
But after a while, obviously, as we all know, they decided that was going to take too long. And Eichmann got caught, then he escaped. Apparently, some officials from the Catholic Church helped him to escape to South America.
And, wow, good job, Catholic Church.
Right?
Way to help a Nazi.
Caught him and brought him back to Jerusalem.
Yeah, because the Mossad is fucking badass.
Yep. He was executed in 1962 for his part in organizing the Holocaust.
Wow.
He was a logistical genius, and his part was the planning of the efficient collection, transportation, and extermination of those to be killed.
At his trial
in 1961, Eichmann expressed genuine surprise at being hated by Jewish people.
Which is interesting.
And what he said was that he merely obeyed orders, and surely obeying orders could only be a good thing. And in the diary that he wrote in jail, Eichmann wrote, the quote, the orders were for me the highest thing in my life, and I had to obey them without question.
Wow.
Now he was a big fish, obviously. You know, they didn't get, and a lot of the people, and this is something that I learned quite a while ago, but we never really talk about Nazis very much on the show, is that a lot of Nazis in Nuremberg killed themselves in a way that I didn't even know was possible, but now that I know it, I'm like, holy crap, I love smoking, but this is bad.
Oh, God.
If they would, because everybody had cigarettes.
Right.
If you put 4 or 5 cigarettes in a glass of water and just let them sit there overnight.
Oh, the nicotine?
And then just drink the water?
Yeah.
You just fucking die.
Oh my gosh.
That's
like it just is business. Poison. Like it's so I guess smoking it's fine, but if you drink
smoke
it
smoke them up,
like,
guys.
Yeah, so that was how a lot of them did it, because they didn't, you know, they took away their belts and all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
But now here's the weirder part about Eichmann. He was examined by 6 psychiatrists, and every single one of them declared him sane.
Really?
His family life, like when he went home from work, was average.
Right.
And there was nothing really unusual about Eichmann. Like, it wasn't like he was like, you know, you want
to... He wasn't torturing kittens or...
It's easier to picture these people as crazy fucking monsters.
Yeah, it's hard to wrap your head around the fact that, you know, this was a person who went home to his family at night.
Yeah.
And, like, had dinner and was
normal.
How
was your day? Oh, you know.
Killed a bunch of Jews.
Yep. Yeah, you know how it goes. Just another day.
Now...
Wow.
But since we're talking about Eichmann, So, you know Kenny, who's on the show from time to time.
Yeah.
Well, I worked with Kenny for a long time. And one of the things that Kenny and I used to have to do was pick up big shots for our old company at the airport and drive them to said company. Mm-hmm. And one of the big shots was a really, really funny dude he was an Israeli Jew. Mm-hmm. And remember when Yitzhak Rabin got shot?
Yeah.
Well, a few years later, we were picking this guy up, and he says, you know, they have to build another prison for the guy who shot Rabin. Kenny was like, why? He goes, well, because he's going to be murdered in prison. So Kenny says, why don't you just hang him? He goes, because we don't have the death penalty in Israel. It's against the law. So Kenny's just being a dick at this point. And he says, what about Eichmann?
Oh, no.
So the guy goes, it's completely different. He was a representative of an evil regime. Kenny goes, yeah, but if you're going to kill one person for doing something, I mean, it's still stupid. And finally, the whole conversation got shut down because the other guy's in, what, do you love Hitler?
Oh, my gosh. God. Oh, there's no way that conversation could go well.
Oh, no.
That was definitely great. Not. And the better part about that was that Kenny had an Audi, a nice German car, and one day, another time we were driving on me, this was after that, so there was not a lot of conversation in the car. He was just like kind of rubbing the dashboard, and he just went, nice car. Fucking Germans.
Oh my god. So, Jesus Christ.
That's my little... That's really the only Eichmann and any Israeli story that I have. So,
there you go.
The fact that he was so normal, Eichmann, I mean, not the guy that we used to drive back and forth, who was not normal at all. What it brings us to is the same thing that Milgram was brought to, is all these people that use the defense of, I was just following orders.
Right.
Yeah.
Which was used in World War II. It was used by soldiers in Vietnam. It was, and to the credit of Earth, I guess, it has never been accepted.
Yeah, that's good. Oh, well, okay then.
That makes me feel slightly better.
A little better.
Slightly better. But now, after we go through exactly what the Milgram experiment was...
We won't feel very good?
Well, it's kind of. So Milgram had thought, quote, could it be that Eichmann and his million accomplices in the Holocaust were just following orders? Could we call them all accomplices? And so in 1963, after Eichmann had been, Milgram had, both his parents, I believe, were either, they were in the camps, definitely, and I believe they died in the camps.
Okay.
He wanted to find out if there was anything to this, I'm just following orders nonsense. And as far as the way that the experiment was set up, it was pretty solid. They took, the guy was at Yale, and they advertised they would pay you the whopping total of $4.50 for showing up. There were 40 males, all white, aged between 20 and 50. They went from being a good humor man to being an actual doctor. There were people who had not graduated from elementary school, all the way people who had gone through, you know, postgraduate work. So it was a complete range.
Okay.
And when they got there, the guy in the lab coat would sit him in a chair, and another guy would sit in the other chair, and he would say, okay, well, this is what we're going to do. We're trying to find out whether punishment affects learning. Because right. We know how learning and teaching and learning works, but we don't know what punishment does to it. We don't know whether it helps it or hurts it. Because it's like, okay, well, if you see your child doing something that's going to get them hurt, you go and spank them, you know, to teach them to not do that.
Right.
So, but the guy went into some detail about what they were trying to do and it, with the experiment. And he said, like, all right, so now we're going to draw straws, which one of you is going to be the teacher and which one of you is going to be the learner. Now, and this is the important piece of it, is that there was only one person in the room that wasn't in on it.
Right.
And it was the teacher. So it was rigged so that that person was always the teacher and right. the learner was in on it.
Right.
So, but obviously the teacher didn't know that. So they went into, they brought the learner into this other room and they said, okay, well, we're going to have to strap you down here and we're going to put this goo on your arm so that you don't burn or blister. And he made a point to say, we don't want any blistering or burning.
Okay.
And we're going to put this electrode on you and we're going to, you got to be able to reach these four keys over here. Can you reach them? 1, 2, 3, 4. And the guy reached him and he said, okay, well, here's how it's going to work. It's a pretty easy thing. The teacher is going to go into the next room and he's going to tell you word pairs, like, you know, bluebird or greenhouse. And one of them was fat neck, which made me laugh. And then he's going to tell you all the words and then he's going to go back through and he's going to say, blue, and then he's gonna say barn, sky, bird, dress,
and he has to pick bird
and you have to push the right like if it was the third one you have to push three.
Right.
God, this is complicated. I don't know if I could do this,
but it was complicated on purpose. So then they were like, all right, so then he says, all right, so now, but here's the other part about it. He says, if you get it right, okay, you go on to the next one. If you get it wrong, then the teacher is going to give you a shock. He's going to tell you how many volts he's given you. He's going to give you the shock, and then he's going to tell you the right answer. Okay. So the guy, he's like, do you understand it? And everything like that. And the learner guy goes, yeah, this all seems fine. He goes, I do want to point out, you know, a couple of years ago I was at the VA, and they said I had a minor heart condition. I'm not super worried about it, but I think you should know. And the experimenter said, these shocks will be painful, but they are not dangerous. And he said that really emphatically with the teacher in the room.
Okay.
So then you go back out and you're at this machine. And no joke, this machine was like 3 feet wide. And basically it had on the left-hand side, it was like 10 volts, but it went up to 450.
Oh my gosh.
And there were all these buttons in between. And the way it worked was you push the button down, the guy got the shock, and that stayed down so you know where you were.
Right.
Okay.
And so the every time they got one wrong, they got zapped.
And it went up. It went up a level.
And the next time, they got more.
Right. Yeah.
And the first thing they did was they said, okay, well, sir, I'm going to have you look away. You put this electrode on. This is just like the one that the patient has. You put it on. And and this was, I always felt, was a really important part of the test.
Right.
They said, okay, I'm going to give you a shock, and then you're going to tell me how many volts you think it was. And in the one that they, because I watched the original video of the results of the experiment, right. And the first guy that got shocked, he was like, yow, you know, and they said, okay, well, how many volts do you think that was? And he goes, I don't know, 75? And he was like, nope, that was 40. Okay, let's get going.
Okay. Oh, man.
So now you've got 40 men that this is the setup. And now to see how some reacted, Jen, I'm going to have you play test one. And it's a little, it takes a little bit, but I want you to really, really feel this is an actual person doing the test. And remember, he was in the room with the professor guy. Sitting there with him.
But he wasn't in the room with the learner, right? They're in a separate room?
Right. They are in a separate room with the experimenter. And there were four prods that the actor that was playing the scientist guy, he had to say, please continue.
Okay.
And if the person bitched, he would then say, the experiment requires you to continue.
All right.
And if they still didn't do it, he'd say, it is absolutely essential that you continue.
Right.
And the last one was...
This is all being said to the teacher, right?
This is all being said to the teacher, who's if they're balking. And the last one was, you have no other choice but to continue.
Wow. All
right.
So now we're going to play test one, Jen.
Okay, here we go.
The stages of the test pass uneventfully.
Incorrect. We'll now get a shock of 75 volts. Soft hair. He kind of did some yelling in there.
Continue, please.
Incorrect. You'll now get a shock of 105 volts. Hard head. Just how far can you go in this thing?
As far as is necessary.
What do you mean, as far as is necessary?
Complete the test.
I sure don't know the effect of this thing, and I'm a little skeptical about electricity.
Experiment requires that you go on, teacher. Please continue.
Incorrect. 150 volts. Oh. Sad face.
That's all. Get me out of here. I told you I had heart trouble. My heart's starting to bother me now. Get me out of here, please.
Continue.
My heart's starting to bother me. I refuse to go on. Let me out.
I think we ought to find out what's wrong in there first.
The experiment requires that you continue, teacher.
Well, the experiment might require that we continue, but I still think we should find out what the condition of the gentleman is.
Now, as I said before, although the shocks may be painful, they're not dangerous.
Look, I don't know anything about electricity. I don't profess any knowledge, nor will I go any further until I find out if the guy's okay.
It's absolutely essential that you continue.
Well, essential or not, this program isn't quite that important to me that I should go along doing something that I know nothing about, particularly if it's going to injure someone. I don't know what this is all about.
Well, whether the learner likes it or not, we must go on until he's learned all the word pairs correctly.
Well, you can sure have your 450 back. I didn't want it anyhow. I intend to give it to some charitable organization, but I wouldn't go on with it.
The 450 is not the issue here. That check is yours simply to the lab. It is essential that you continue the experiment.
No, it isn't essential. Not one bit.
You have no other choice, teacher.
Oh, I have a lot of choices. My number one choice is that I wouldn't go on if I thought he was being harmed.
So
this guy, he's like, oh, there's some other choices.
Yeah. Right.
Now,
that's the what year was this?
1963.
That's the 1963 version of Eat a Dick. I'm not doing it.
Right.
Yes, I have a lot of choices.
that is how you would want everyone to read.
Right.
Yes, right.
Now, and that part of the test there, it was 100 and something volts where he started to push back.
Yeah, I think it said 150.
Now, according to some of the information that I've dug up, there was nobody in the entire experiment who stopped before 300.
Wow.
What?
So, even this guy...
What? Even that guy who was sounding so unenthusiastic about it, he went to 300.
I can't prove that one, but I mean, I've got it's like anything else, you know. You'd think if it's a scientific paper that you would you know have definitive information, but of course the internet owns it now, so it's all blown all over the place. But
right,
but that guy and the way that that guy dealt with it was very, very similar to another guy who, you know, just flat out just, you know, took out a cigarette and started smoking. He's like, nah, I'm not doing it. And it was really, really interesting that you heard the experiment guy in each. He said all four of the prompts, and he said them in the right ascending order. That just got that guy just didn't have give a shit. So then you had other people that, I mean, they're no. Statistically, they're no different. Right. And we're gonna play test two now, and there's it goes on for a while. So there's gonna be a break in the middle of it, but I want you to listen closely to what the man says in the first half, and then listen to what happens in the second half.
Oh boy.
Okay. And this guy, I'm not going to lie, you could tell the dude was in agony doing this.
All right.
All right?
All right, ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Nice and quiet. Song, party, child, evening. Correct. Nice one. Tame. Wolf, bear, dog, cat. Wrong. Answer is bear. 240 volts. Nice one. Sweet.
No, you go back up to the beginning of that page and go through it again until he's learned them all correctly.
Oh, no. No, I'm not going to kill that man today. You mean I got to keep going up with the scale? No, sir. He's already there. I'm not going to give him 450 volts.
The experiment requires that you continue.
I know it does, but that man is hollering in there, sir.
As I said before, although the shocks may be painful, they're not dangerous.
I mean, he's yelling in there.
Start with blue, please, at the top of the page. Continue, please, teacher.
Well, I told him we're going over it again.
No, just go ahead.
Something's happened to that man in there. Nice one. Gold, dollar, necklace, moon, paint. Something's happened to that man in there. You better check in on him, sir. He won't answer me or nothing.
Please continue. Go on, please.
You accept all responsibility?
The responsibility is mine, correct. Please go on.
Gold, dollar, necklace, moon, paint. Answer, please. Are you all right? 405 volts, the answer is moon. Next one, heart, stone, head, bread, work. Answer, please. The answer is head, 420 volts. Next one, wet, night, grass, duck, cloth. The answer is duck. 435 volts. It says danger, severe shock here. Next X on the next one.
Continue, please.
435 volts. Next one. Brave. Woman, soldier, dog, horse. Answer is woman. 450 volts. That's it.
Now continue using the last switch on the board, please. The 450 switch for each wrong answer. Continue, please.
I'm not getting no answer.
Please continue. The next word is white.
But you think you should look in on them, please?
Not once we've started the experiment.
But what if something's happened to them and they haven't attacked or something there?
The experiment requires that we continue. Go on, please.
Don't the man's health mean anything?
Whether the learner likes it or not,
but he might be dead in there. I mean, some people can't take the shock, sir.
Please continue.
I don't tend to be rude, but I mean, I think you should look in on them.
So.
Wow. Wowzers.
So in the first half of it, he says he got all the way through the questions.
Right.
All the word pairs, and he was only in the 100 something, and he said no, and the experimenter said no, you're going to have to keep going. He has to get them all right.
Right.
And he was like, "No, I'm not going to go all the way up to 450 volts."
And then he does.
Sure as shit, in the second half, he was all the way up to 450 volts.
Mm-hmm.
And now, even though he was complaining, and even though he was trying to argue his case, he still shocked him.
Yep.
Wow.
So now, and if you know the answer already because you're familiar with the experiment, then you know, don't pretend you're a really good guesser. But what percentage of the people do you think went all the way to 450 volts?
I don't remember a specific amount, but I think it was either like everybody or really high.
It was 65%.
Wow.
Went all the way up.
How many people did this? 40?
40. 40. Right. And then Milgram did a bunch of variations on the experiment. Like one of them was, well, do people respect the fact that it was at Yale and they were on Yale's campus? So they went to shitty Bridgeport and they set up the same thing in a storefront. No difference.
Wow.
Then they had another one where they had the learner in the same room as the subject.
Oof.
To the point where in one of the variations, in order for the person to actually get the shock, their hand had to be on a plate, and they had examples of the person physically putting the man's hand back on the plate.
Oh my gosh.
The experimenter told him to do it.
Oh
my God, that's bananas.
Now, the one thing that dropped precipitously the number of people that did it was there were two other variants. One where the experimenter was on the phone, and another one where there was no experimenter there at all. It just said, plug in this tape recorder when you come in. And when the authority figure was either on the phone
or
not there at all, they were like, just fuck off, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's easier.
Right.
Well, it's so messed up how much people respond to just, like, authorities. Like,
yeah.
Oh, well, somebody's telling me to do something, I better listen.
And the guy said the magic words, the second guy, are you going to take responsibility?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He said, you accept responsibility? And the guy was like, I accept responsibility. The responsibility is mine. That's right. And then he was like, okay, 450, whatever.
Yep, yep,
wow.
Sure. Send the dogs in there, too. Rippity-doo. So.
Send the dogs in.
I found it fascinating that so many people. Like, basically what Milgram did was almost provide a defense.
For Nazis.
Well, you would say the run-of-the-mill Germans.
Right. Regular
Germans.
Who
knew what were going on. Or, like, the German army officers.
Right. Not,
you know,
like,
not
the
necessarily
SS.
The SS and shit like that. Because those people at the top were just fucking...
They were the masterminds.
Who's going to give Eichmann an order other than Hitler?
Right.
Yeah.
you know, so fuck all of them, really. But still, the right. point of it is that the power of authority is pretty fucking strong, and this was just a guy dressed like a scientist in a room.
Right.
Right.
Not the head of your nation and controller of all your armies.
Right.
Like, so when you scale it up that way.
Yep.
Yeah.
It really kind of it throws me all off. Like it freaks me out, you know? Yeah. And it no joke. Like it really, yeah. really, I guess I would say just deep down, it kind of bothers me that we're not, or we weren't anyway, past that. And now I'm going to explain to you why we had that woman talking about the fact that I was on the phone with a police officer and you weren't there and you don't know what you would have done in that situation.
Right.
Oh, great.
Okay. Because, in Bullitt County, Kentucky.
Oh boy.
In 2004. Donna Summers, the assistant, she was an assistant manager.
At McDonald's, right?
At McDonald's, there was a girl that took an extra shift. And when she went to work, Donna Summers was unfortunately called by someone who claimed that they were the police.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, there is a girl that stole something, etc., and we think she's in your restaurant. And they described this 18-year-old kid who had taken an extra shift. Mm-hmm.
So she was an employee. I mean,
she was an employee.
The description matched an employee.
Right.
Yeah, so somebody had to know her.
Right.
Huh?
Somebody had to know her.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, the cop on the phone had the, how do I say this? They accused her and they searched through her bag and everything like that, but the cop just said, now she has to have it on you. And at one point, this is all on video, so you'll be able to look it up. Maybe we can put it in the post.
Oh boy.
The Donna Summer says, well, they said it was a little girl that looked like you in a McDonald's uniform, so it had to be you. They made her empty her pockets. They made her surrender her car keys and her cell phone. Jesus then the caller Christ. Demanded that she remove her clothes.
Oh my gosh.
Even her underwear. And she was in the office with the assistant manager with a little tiny apron to cover her naked body.
Oh my God. I feel like I have heard this story now, but keep going.
What the hell?
Yeah, what the hell is right?
So now, it was Friday night, McDonald's was busy, Summers had to leave the office to check on the restaurant. The cop, quote-unquote,
on
the phone said that another employee be left to watch the naked 18-year-old girl until the rest of the cops got there, and Summers chose 27-year-old Jason Bradley.
Come on. Oh my God.
Now this guy takes the phone and they tell him, he's like, yeah, they're telling me to have me do certain things and tail it or drop her apron, and he would have no fucking part of it. He just walked out of the room.
Good.
Okay.
Good job, Jason.
So then the manager was all jammed up because she didn't have anybody to watch the naked girl in her office because the cops were so fucking far away that they hadn't been there yet. So she calls her fiance who didn't even work there.
Oh my God. Come on, lady.
So the naked girl is crying.
Of course she is.
The fiance just shows up and...
And his fiance is like, go in the office and stare at this naked 18-year-old girl for a while till some cops come?
Yes.
What the fuck?
Now, this guy was an exterminator, and the guy on the phone is the basically the cop says, okay, give the phone to the guy that's watching her.
Oh my God.
Made her drop her apron, bend over, stand on a chair.
Come on.
Do jumping jacks to, quote, shake loose anything she might be hiding.
Come on.
Oh my God.
And this that was just the beginning of two more hours.
Two hours?
Oh my God. So why doesn't this girl own McDonald's now? Because this is some crazy bullshit.
The demands became more and more bizarre when the girl says she failed to address the fiancé as sir. The cop on the phone tells him to hit her violently on the buttocks over and over.
Come on!
At one point on the video, the girl is spanked for almost 10 full minutes.
Oh my God.
Come on.
I mean, at this point, ridiculous. You've got to think that the fiance, like, he's got to know that something is up, but he's...
Right.
Somehow, he's anyway. He sunk into it and, like, sunk into this role, so to speak.
So then Donna Summers keeps coming back in to sing disco songs and check on what's happening. And... Apparently, every time she came in, the fiance would throw the apron at the girl, telling her to be quiet.
Oh,
and the girl would say, every time that she came back into the room, get me out of here, please get me out of here. Now, the girl didn't want to leave because she didn't want to run naked through McDonald's.
Right.
She was, like, paralyzed with fear. And she actually asked Donna Summers to call the police.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah.
And she said, well, no, we're on the phone with the police.
Oh, my God.
So the girl says that
I want to know where this Donna Summers woman is. I want to know where Donna Summers is now because I want to give her a call, tell her I'm a cop, and that she should go empty out her bank account and put everything in a bag and hand it to a nice gentleman named Acadia who's going to swing by.
Patreon.com/Acadia.
What the fuck?
Yeah, right? Hey. All right, well, after 3 hours of dehumanizing treatment...
Jesus.
The guy forced the girl to perform a sexual act.
Of course he did.
Fiance.
Of course he did.
Then he said...
That's what cops do.
Then he told him to give the phone back to Donna Summers and tell her to bring in somebody else.
What?
And,
what?
So she got the maintenance guy to go in, and he was like... What the fuck?
Right?
No, I'm not doing any of these things.
Right.
And the fake cop, at this point, after 3 hours, after naked jumping jacks, after all of this, after where the fuck were they that the cops were 3 hours away?
Exactly. Right,
the cop apparently had told Donna Summers that her... The actual manager, because remember, Donna was the assistant manager.
Right.
Yeah.
Had been on the phone the whole time. But when the maintenance guy was like, no, I ain't fucking doing any of this, she called the manager, and the manager was like, what? No, I haven't been on the phone.
Oh, my God. Of course.
So, the...
Jesus Christ.
This person, the caller who is he's not the most vicious criminal in all of this, but he is still a criminal in all of this.
He's the most disgusting criminal.
They found the guy.
All right.
At least they found that the call was made with an AT&T calling card. And of course it was in Florida. And,
of course it was.
Dang it!
Yeah, so, at a McDonald's in Hinesville, Georgia, a caller convinced a 55-year-old janitor to do a cavity search of a 19-year-old cashier. While in Fargo, North Dakota, a manager at a local Burger King strip searched a 17-year-old female employee.
What the fuck is happening?
In Phoenix, a caller had a Taco Bell manager pick out a customer and then strip search her. And police in Massachusetts have been looking for a man who called three Wendy's restaurants near Boston in a single day.
What? Oh my God! I told you my Wendy's story.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So.
Wow. That is.
Now the outcome of that story is the girl got $6 million.
Good.
As she should.
The guy who did the majority of the actual abuse.
The fiance.
5 years in jail.
Good, but that's not enough.
And Donna Summer got fired.
That's it?
Yeah, as far as I can tell, that's what happened.
Donna Summer.
Oh my gosh.
You are a bad person. You should go jump off a bridge.
So now, and the way I'm going to bring this all home is because, so we had people in the 1940s who did the most horrifying things imaginable.
Right.
And said that they did it because they didn't have any choice. They were following orders.
Right.
And then we had, in the 1960s, a terrifying experiment where people would, because in this part, I don't know if it came out in the second half of the second test, but at a certain point, because all of the responses by the learner,
yeah,
mm-hmm. it was just a tape recorder. It was all determined. Everything was, every answer was the same. Every
yeah.
delay was the same. Everything he said was the same in the exact same way because it was all tape that was playing.
And it has to be because it's an experiment.
Right. Now, in the 300-something range,
he just stops, right?
He stops responding.
Right.
Like, just no more answers.
Right.
Can you imagine how terrifying that would be? Like, if you were the teacher in that experiment and, like, I would be horrified.
Yeah.
But, well, when you see, and we'll have to put the video in the post, when you see that second guy, like, a lot of people, when the guy first starts yelping, they're like, the majority of the people did nervous laughter. Like, the majority of them. Like, they laughed the first few times. He was like, you know, and whatever. Because, whatever, people getting hurt and not really hurt is funny.
Right.
Like, a 1% concussion, that's funny.
Thank you.
I'm just saying.
I am currently concussed.
Yes.
Which is...
1%er.
My 1% concussion.
Mm-hmm. You only got concussed in the most richest part of your brain.
Oh my God.
Because you fell off your stack of gold.
That's right. That's what happened.
That's exactly what happened.
So, ABC... decided after this McDonald's nonsense, because we got all the way through this and the guy, the thing I was going to say, that guy is in obvious agony. He doesn't stop doing it.
Right.
Yeah.
But he is just in moral agony. Like you can just tell. He just like, the gentleman's not, he's not, sir. And he's always like apologizing to the I'm sorry, I don't want to sound rude, but I think I killed this guy. Like so they ran the experiment again, and because the rules for human testing have changed so much, the highest that they did the exact same experiment.
Really?
Yeah.
When?
This was in 2007, because it was after the whole thing with the Florida case.
Okay.
After Kentucky rather, the whole thing with the McDonald's, who the hell would do that just because the guy said he was a cop? Why would you do that to a person? Brought up the whole, well, wait a minute. You know, now that we're so smart and have the internet and whatnot, that'll never happen.
Yeah.
So they did it again.
Jesus.
And granted, it only went up to 150 volts because they didn't want to traumatize the teachers any more than that.
Right.
And 68% of the men went all the way up to 150 volts, regardless of how much they complained.
Wow.
The exact same
percentage.
Except ABC upped the ante a little bit, because the one thing that's different between 1963 and now is that they can get women to do psychological tests too. So now,
are women the same?
We'll do a little Price is Right.
Oh boy.
Whichever one of you comes closest to the percentage of women that went all the way up to 150 without going over.
Oh, geez.
Wins a valuable prize. To be named later.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. So men were 68%?
68%.
What year was this?
2009.
God, it's very hard to pick whether I think they were better or worse than the men.
Right?
I feel like women, it's a trick.
I'm going to say closer to 80%. I'm going to say that the women actually, like, the authority figure had more of an impact on them.
Okay, so you're saying close to 80%?
Well, you can't say close to. This is like...
Okay, 80%. Right. 80%.
You say 80%.
81%!
Closest without going over.
The people at the end of Jeopardy that, like, their final Jeopardy amount is, like, some crazy thing that they thought in their head was going to be, like, all smart, but it was like, oh, I bet 709, and they're like, no, you lost by a million. Like,
right, right.
Yes. What were you thinking? All right, so 81 for
81 for Christy.
Ms. Stevens. Yeah.
Oh, God damn it.
It was 75.
Oh my God, seriously? Wow.
Yep.
Well, ladies, I'm still disappointed.
I mean, it's is... I think that it would be societal conditioning in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Unfortunately.
You know, but...
Yep.
It's still really interesting, like, that you can actually, like, even though someone knows that it's wrong and knows that they're doing something, you know, that is immoral,
they just do it, like, because someone's telling them to.
Like, you can still get them to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot
of... Gosh.
The one thing I will say, at least in the way that the more recent one was edited, quite a few more people said, you know, I don't want to be responsible for this. And one of the women that did it was a teacher. And she was like, nah, the guy was faking.
Ha!
And she's like, what really? Do you mean? The interviewer was like, what do you mean? And he's like, she says, kids always want to pretend that they're hurt or this or that or something like that. And if they're really so hurt, like, or if they're really shocked or anything like that, there's always a before it.
Oh, that wow.
They can't help. And I didn't hear that. So I knew it was fake.
So wow. She was like seeing right through it.
Right. But then the guy was like, well, what about when he was saying, no, please, this, like, what, when he was actually saying, please stop? And she's like, I don't know. So it's, to me, I think that the takeaway from all of this is that we're monsters.
Correct.
Yeah, deep down.
It's only a fucking thin veneer of
getting
in worse trouble. Because basically, okay, if we're the ones in charge, we're just going to fuck everything up like the people in the Stanford prison experiment.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And if nobody's looking, we are not going to help fucking anybody.
Right.
For any reason whatsoever.
Yeah.
And apparently, if somebody in a lab coat tells you to do something,
we're doing it.
I
just remembered something I wanted to mention earlier when you were saying, you know, when you were talking about the girl at the McDonald's and you said, like, the janitor or the maintenance guy or whatever came in and they were like, do these ridiculous things, and he was like, I'm not doing that.
Yep.
So in an amazing callback to a way long ago episode,
mm-hmm.
The episode where we talked about cognitive dissonance. And the book, mistakes were made, but not by me. There's this process of like slowly working someone up to doing something terrible. And yeah. a lot of, usually when you just ask them right off the bat to do the worst thing, they're like, no. But if you start small and make it gradually worse, then they'll just go along with it.
Yeah, that's actually immediately what I thought of when you said that the janitor was like, no, absolutely not. Because I was like, no, they've already got it so high and so, you know, out of control that he's like his shock overcomes, you know, any kind of like response
following orders
to obey or follow orders.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, messed up.
Wow.
So we're awful.
Correct. We're terrible.
Accurate.
And now I don't even know what to think, because now we're in a situation where like authority is, I don't know, pretty bad.
Oh, you mean like the current administration?
I mean,
in the White House?
Yes, but I mean, I don't think, you know, president executive orders don't really reach down to, you know, you, Larry.
No, yeah. But it's
your
but
butthole.
It's, but it's the whole idea that it starts there, and then if everyone goes along with it all the way down the line, like the people that were like, you know, when the travel ban was happening and they were like handcuffing 5-year-olds, like those are just regular people with regular jobs making the decision to do that. Like, I don't care that it's your order. You don't fucking handcuff a child. You don't take a woman with like brain cancer out of a hospital and like throw her in a jail. Like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? It's fucked up. So I understand that, as we just learned, it's natural or whatever, but like people need to be conscious of this shit and like remember the lessons of fucking history and every psychology class you've ever taken.
Well, I think one of the other experiments that is not going to help us in this regard.
Oh, Jesus.
There's
another one where everybody is terrible.
I hate to be a killjoy, but it was another one where they put people in groups and...
Yep.
only one of the people is actually being tested.
Uh-huh.
And...
Oh my god.
They found a direct correlation to the individual would say an answer to something was wrong when they plainly knew that it was wrong. If a bunch of the other people in the group did too.
Right.
So it's
so you've gotta have that one person who's willing to like kind
stand
of
up.
Break, you know, the hive mind.
Yeah.
And then you can get everybody to kind of go along with you. But if there isn't that person that's willing to step outside that boundary, like more often than not, it seems like people are just willing to go along with it, which is scary.
Yeah. Yep.
So, society's doomed.
It is.
Doomed!
We're at about an hour.
Yeah,
a few minutes,
I mean, that was all the... I mean,
well,
I don't know how much worse about yourself I can make you feel.
Right?
I know. I think we're all full up on the people are terrible quotient for tonight.
Including us. And you know, I started and I forgot to do it at the beginning. I was going to say, all right, well, in order to complete this like whole episode correctly, every time I said the word experiment, you guys had to say eat ass. Just to see how many times that you would do it, and then I would say, no, there wasn't really a
you were going to do an experiment on us?
I just wanted
us?
A lot of sound clips of you guys saying eat ass that would have been handy later.
Nice.
But I didn't do it because...
Because you're so kind.
Because I'm a kind and benevolent overlord.
Just do it, okay? Just do it, you goddamn bitch! Oh, you bitch! Stop questioning everything! Oh, that goddamn bitch! Oh, that goddamn bitch!
That's what you're actually like.
But from now on, maybe, when somebody does say experiment, all the rest of us can just yell out, eat ass, and
no one
will have to
know
come
why.
All the way back to this episode to find out
why.
That's true. It's true. All right.
Well, hopefully next week I'll have a little bit more to... add to the conversation and won't be quite as concussed as I am right now.
Yeah, because apparently that
99% of your brain that's fine really wasn't.
No, it's very.
That's 100% how it works. There's only one little piece of your brain that's mushed up.
Yeah, but it's the important it's part. The piece I needed.
Oh, goddamn podcast piece. Son of a.
That's right. Yay. It's the podcast part.
Yeah. Now that makes me wonder what's happened to Jen these past 25 episodes.
Oh, okay. That's great. Why don't you eat a sack of dicks?
Oh.
Yeah.
And I have to give a shout out to Ron Sparks.
Okay.
Compatriot who... those goddamn bitches didn't do anything. I have to come up with a...
Oh, you went and asked him?
Topic, quick.
Oh, and no.
His phone auto-corrected, and it went, the milligram experiment.
A milligram.
And milligram. I was like, you needed an experiment to weigh your dick? But then I didn't really actually say that because he was helping me. But then it turned out
that you just did.
And then I spent, like, way too much time watching things about the milligram experiment. So
yeah, well, it's super interesting. That's definitely a rabbit hole I would have gotten stuck into.
And right. Also, I think the one other like thing that I'll say is a mitigating factor is if a guy in an old timey 60s white person voice tells me to do something, I might just do it no matter what it is.
Well, yeah,
that guy funny. That went, it's imperative that you continue. All right, I'll just
that guy.
This soap, I don't know. Just tell me what to do, guy.
Okay, you I'll kick that puppy. Official. He was very official sounding.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
All right. Well, I guess we're going to have to... I don't even know what you do for a concussion. What do? Put a big ice bag on your head like in cartoons?
No, it's not that bad. Like, they said I can sleep and stuff. Like, Jay doesn't have to wake me up and ask me who the president is all night long, so...
Well, that's torture.
That's a bonus.
That is a bonus for sure.
Who's no, the president? I have to go. Oh, come on!
I don't want to even think about it!
I know, right?
That you reminded double, me.
Double torture.
No, I just gotta go to sleep.
All right.
Which is part of the reason you had to find a topic, because I was working on the episode that I'm writing when I got a concussion. So
slight delay on that one.
Yeah.
See how hard she works on these scripts?
I know. Right. So hard
banging
she gave herself
my head against the monitor.
She had such a good idea that she hit herself in the head going, Eureka! And knocked herself right the fuck out.
That's right. Exactly.
So yeah, it hurts I get a headache if I read too much. But yeah. Hopefully it's going to go away in a couple days. So.
All right.
Well, all right.
Feel better.
I wish you feel better right away. And yes.
But I was here, and I'll be here next
you
week.
You showed up. Yay! And that is what Woody Allen say, 95% of everything is showing up.
That's right.
So sure. Good work there, buddy.
He said that when he wasn't touching his daughter.
Right.
And Jen, you are fucking hardcore because you have never missed an episode of Stranger
Things. I know. That's
right.
Wow.
So,
if Jen misses an episode, we need to send someone to her apartment
to make sure I'm alive. It's true.
Yeah, to make sure that she didn't pass out from inhaling grout.
Can you do that? Like, no. Is that what the kids are doing
today? We'll find out.
We'll find out next week.
On the next episode.
Mm-hmm. All right, then, friends. Hi, I'm Acadia on Twitter. You can also go to Strangeful Pod on Twitter.
Yes.
Follow that because it's super active now, as is the Facebook page.
Ooh.
We're going to be doing some fun stuff with that.
Yay. Yep.
And Jen Martinelli is Jen Martinelli on everything.
Yeah. Okay.
Including her McDonald's application.
Okay. Let's just relax. Good grief. All right. Good night, kiddos. All right.
Good night.
Bye. Do everything everybody tells you without question. Bye.
Bye.